Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. This is Andy.
And this is Christine.
And you are listening to Japan Top 10. This episode, we will be bringing you the news for March 2022. So let's get into it without further ado. Japan Top 10! As I mentioned up top, this is our new series titled Japan Top 10 News, where we discuss the latest news in the Japanese music scene and other current mainstream cultural topics. All listeners will be able to listen to the full episode today, and similarly to our cultures episode, this episode will be mainly talk-based, so you'll get lots of wonderful interactions between me and Christine. And don't worry, we will still feature 5 songs to tag along with our topics that we discuss. In the future, we may also release these episodes on YouTube, but if we do, the music will not be posted due to licensing restrictions. We will do these episodes once every 2 months at this time.
So please give us some feedback on this episode once you listen to it, because we're trying to determine whether there is interest among our listeners in these episodes. Visit japantop10.jp and contact us through our social media or email us to give us your feedback. This is also our last Listener Appreciation Month episode, and if you enjoyed the extra songs you heard this month, please consider supporting us in Patreon, starting only at $1 a month. For more details, visit japantop10.jp/club.
Yes, that's right. If you wonder, if you enjoy our wonderful dulcet tones today, please consider. Well, without further ado, shall we begin with our top headlines, Christine?
Yeah, sounds good. Let's get into it.
Great. So, up top, of course, we would be remiss not to mention the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. And on the Japanese front, as of Wednesday, March 2nd, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida announced that Japan will be accepting Ukrainian refugees who have been displaced by the conflict, beginning with immediate family members of the current 1,900 Ukrainian residents in Japan. Japan has not historically accepted as many refugees as its G7 peers, with just 47 admitted in 2020, but Ukrainian refugees will be admitted on humanitarian grounds, even if they do not meet the definition of refugee under Japan's conventions. And this statement was according to Chief Cabinet Secretary Hirokazu Matsuno. So yeah, this is kind of unprecedented on Japan's behalf, I think.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I was really surprised because I was also very aware that Japan has not historically been, you know, just accepting refugees compared to other countries. Which, I mean, I guess it's not unusual in East Asian countries, I suppose, mm-hmm. just because geographically, I feel like because, you know, the land, I guess it's just further out. So I was pretty surprised when I heard, I mean, obviously I'm happy that Japan decided to accept these Ukrainian refugees on humanitarian grounds, but I can't deny that I was pretty shocked too.
Yeah, no, exactly, precisely what you mentioned. I would echo, like, it was, and initially there was kind of I heard some more concerning news that was talking about like how they were going to still, of course we're still also amid a global pandemic, unfortunately.
Yeah, sure.
And there was some talks about like these refugees would have to be screened and like things like that, and I understand those risks, but like it just seemed like creating an unnecessary barrier obstacle to like almost deter people from wanting to do that.
Yeah, it's so hard, I feel like, especially with the pandemic still ongoing, you know, considering risk in terms of the general public's health. versus, you know, what you can do as a country on humanitarian mm-hmm. grounds. So I'm glad that they reached this conclusion to accept Ukrainian refugees and, you know, just giving, just lending a helping hand at times of crisis like
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. And I mean, on that note too, there, it's not just on the refugee front, which is, I think, the most humanistic and most like base thing to start helping with, but the government has also announced that they will send, you know, with among other supplies from the self-defense forces, they will deliver bulletproof vests and relief goods to the government of Ukraine. And I mean, I as I'm sure it's sprung up all around the world, Japanese residents have also voiced their support more generally for Ukraine, with 2,000 people gathering at Shibuya Crossing on February 27th, including many Ukrainian nationals. And honestly, I can speak a little bit to something that I just witnessed yesterday. I was in the city, in Chiba City, mm-hmm. that is, and I did see an anti-war gathering there as well happening. And
oh, really?
Yeah, which it just goes to show how people feel compelled to, you know, speak out against this and, you know, in support of the Ukrainian government and its people.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Japan, like a lot of other countries, have also lit up their Nijo Castle, which is one of the World Heritage Sites in Tokyo, in Ukraine's national colors to show their support. And the chairman and CEO of Rakuten, Mikitani, has also announced in a letter that he will be donating 1 billion yen, which is about 8.7 million USD, to the government of Ukraine for humanitarian aid.
Yeah, and on the musical front, Yoshiki announced via Twitter that he donated 10 million yen, which is about 87,000 USD, to Ukraine as well. So it is heartening. I mean, I hate that the world has to come together in certain ways under circumstances like this, but it is nice to see that people are giving them, you know, giving their heart and relief to the people of Ukraine.
For sure, yeah. I mean, it's obviously kind of, you know, it does, like exactly what you said, given the current circumstances, people gathered together, and it's especially, I feel like, over the last 2 years, because of the pandemic, I haven't seen this kind of united effort to give support for something. And so I guess, you know, it's nice to see that people are trying to support in the way that they can, whether it be, you know, attending these anti-war gatherings in front of the Shibuya Crossing, or just by donation mm-hmm. to different aid and different charity to help the Ukrainian government.
No, exactly. And kind of on moving on to another news item of a similar nature, it is actually the 11th year since the Tohoku Great Eastern Earthquake in Japan. Talking about, you know, worldwide events that really kind of united people in a way, and that just happened this past Friday, and I know that there was multiple, you know, moments of silence and other memorials for the lives lost in that horrific natural disaster.
Yeah, I know I saw headlines even from within Canada on the day of, to, you know, sort of acknowledge that it's been 11 years since this Tohoku earthquake. And even though it's been 11 years, but during times of crises like this, I think what really touches me is how much people gather together and really unite as one to offer support for the people that need them.
Definitely.
Well, going on to our next news item, this is good news for students and workers who have been waiting to get into Japan probably since the pandemic has started. There's an estimated number of around 150,000 students that has been waiting to enter Japan for the past 2 years. And because Japan has one of, I think Japan's border restrictions during COVID-19 has been among one of the most strict. Mm-hmm. But it looks like there's light at the end of the tunnel, because on February 18th, Japan actually opened its borders to foreign nationals who have a student or work visa, and they were limiting 3,500 people to enter the border every day, but this has expanded to 5,000 in March. On March 1st, actually, and they will ease restrictions even further. And as of March 14th, they will be allowing 7,000 students or workers who hold a valid visa entering Japan. And because Japan's school semester starts in April, I'm sure that students are just really eager and waiting to enter Japan to begin their studies, you know, whether it be at universities or language schools.
Definitely. Do you know, Christine, personally, do you know anyone that has been directly affected by this news?
Oh my god. You know, I do actually, and the unfortunate thing is, so I do have a friend who was supposed to start his graduate program literally right before the pandemic. I believe it was 2020, and you know, obviously he's not been able to go back, and as he's graduating this year, I'm not really sure if he's going to go back or if he's just going to go to his graduation, and I do feel bad. Yeah, it was unfortunate, but you know, I'm happy for all the students that are waiting to go back. Mm-hmm. You know, and definitely also workers with work visa, because I also know a couple of people who had their working holiday visa, but obviously, you know, with the pandemic, I think all of their visa, I don't remember if it was put on hold or just canceled altogether. I think mm-hmm. you needed to submit some kind of documentation to say that you want to put your visa on hold. But, mm-hmm. you know, obviously the whole thing is a logistical nightmare. I mean, the entire pandemic was a logistical nightmare. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm also really happy for, you know, friends and other people who mm-hmm. have been waiting just to go to Japan, either to, you know, start a new semester at school or start mm-hmm. a new job.
Yeah, no, it's been really hard to watch. Like, I, for better or for worse, I got stuck in Japan. I had my job and I've just been here for like the entirety of the pandemic. But I mm-hmm. can't imagine just exactly what you're expressing. Like the idea that maybe people's whole lives were kind of leading up to this moment, and then just have it like snatched right. away, and you're kind of set, you're sitting left like.
I guess you're just hanging there, you know? Yeah, like you don't, with the pandemic, mm-hmm. like you don't know how long it's going to last, when the border restrictions are going to loosen. Yeah, no, absolutely. But I've also heard from the other side, you know, some of my friends who were in Japan during the pandemic, I think a couple of their employers ended up just applying mm-hmm. for a work visa mm-hmm. for them to stay because new workers couldn't come in. So they ended up just applying for, like, to my mm. knowledge, I think it bears cost on the employer's end, and I think they ended up just doing that because you know, of like labor shortages and new workers being unable to enter Japan.
Yeah, I can speak very personally again, like in my area in Chiba, like there's a lot of fishing labor that is done by people coming from abroad,
right.
And so that whole industry has really suffered. It, being a main industry here, it's hard to watch because they right. rely on people coming to do, yeah, to do these jobs, and then mm-hmm. when that just bottoms out, you watched kind of almost an industry crumble before your eyes. It's really sad.
No.
But yeah, so hopefully that will, you know, slow that kind of thing, like you were saying, and not that it's all about companies, but hopefully the people who want to come here and work can work. And in fact, I probably don't really care that much what happens to companies, but just an example for those like workers,
sure.
right, that are trying to come here to live.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Yeah. Well, Not to turn face too quickly, but maybe we can kind of come to our last 2 points in this section before we introduce some music.
Yeah.
Let's start with, I think, the thing that's been on a lot of entertainment news lips. That is the Japanese film nominated for the Best Picture at the Oscars, which is, of course, Drive My Car, directed by Riisuke Hamaguchi. And it is the first Japanese film nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards, and particularly this year is the 94th Academy Awards, which will take place on March 27th. But this film's pretty prolific because it's also been nominated for Best Director, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best International Feature Film, and it's already won quite a few other awards at for Best Foreign Language Film at Golden Globes and Best Screenplay at the... Oh, I always say this wrong. Cannes Film Festival?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
No worries. Yeah, I mean, it's real. I think, you know, every time I read the Japanese news, it's just, you know, either more nominations or actually winning that award. And yeah, I personally haven't seen this film, but I don't know. Did you watch this film? In Japan?
No, I also haven't, so I guess I'm like talking it up as if I haven't watched it, sadly, but I from what I hear, people really love it.
Yeah, no, I think every time I open Twitter, I've just seen raving reviews about the film, and obviously all of these awards echo that sentiment.
No, definitely. And I mean, just to kind of close out this item, but yeah, it's kind of makes sense because obviously I'm sure you're familiar with the author Haruki Murakami.
Absolutely, one of my favorite authors.
Yeah, same. One of my, and definitely someone that, you know, I find myself revisiting, right?
His works. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and this film is kind of was based off of a short story of his from the 2014 collection Men Without Women. And so you kind of see, like, okay, well, there's this, like, superstar author kind of backing the inspiration for this. So you can kind of see the through lines that have made it a success, combined with, you know, an all-star cast as well, so.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, Nishijima Hidetoshi-san, who starred in the film Kino Nani Tabeta, What Did You Eat Yesterday? Earlier last year, it was... I believe it was released on Netflix. So definitely an all-star cast. And of course, with just an amazing, a story by an amazing author as well.
Well, to all of our listeners, please enjoy that. Maybe me and Christine can also go enjoy that.
We probably should.
Do our research.
Having read so much about it. Yeah, we need to do this. And now on our last item, before we get into some songs, technology to help improve Japan's declining birth rate. I don't know if, you know, this is news to our listeners, but I know that when I read this news, it certainly was news to me, that Japan has always had one of the lower numbers of birth rates, and apparently it was dropping even more since 2020, and it has been recording a record low for the sixth consecutive year. And so what Japan ended up doing was sort of, I guess they invented a tech, what they call a new industry called baby tech, which is just a number of smart technologies that is supposed to help parents with bringing up their child. So for example, in the baby cot, if a child's crying, the cot can determine for you why the child is crying by using artificial intelligence. And I know that when I read this news, even though the lowered birth rate is no news to me, this baby tech concept is news to me. And I mean, I work in a tech company and my work is also about artificial intelligence, but even I'm like, how? This concept surprises me.
Well, that makes me feel better because I was reading this. I'm very much not in a tech industry. And I'm like, this is science fiction. Like, I have no idea what this means.
I mean, even from someone who works in a tech company and, you know, who works in like an AI department, this is news to me. I'm like, in my mind, I'm trying to think of how you would be able to achieve this, and it's crazy to be able to think of this. I think, you know, to find different ways to support parents and to come up with something like, oh, we can, you know, we can let you know why your baby's crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like exactly what you're just hitting
on. Mind-blowing.
That is mind-blowing. Like whoever thought of that step too, I'm like, wow, kudos to you, because how could you envision this as a problem?
Right. I mean, yeah. I'm going to guess that they maybe are a parent themselves.
Yeah.
Probably that speaking from experience and thinking, okay, well, you know, what do I really need, and what kind of technology would benefit other parents as well.
True. That is a very good point. Okay. Well. I think we've had our fill of headlines, so let's break it up a little bit with a song in our episode, and today we will start off with Hikari from April 14, 2004, and it is not Utari Hikaru, but it will be Yosuke Sakanoue.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Johnny.
Yosuke Sakanoue is a singer-songwriter from Kobe.
Hikari is from his second album, Call, released in 2004.
He had his major debut under Sony Music in 2000 with his album Toy.
And his music style includes pop, rock, and R&B.
He is currently active in his band Spiral Spiders. That is like the coolest name.
Yeah. Wow.
And is also in the duo Yosuke Kosuke with Kosuke Yonehara of one of the idol groups Kokoa Otoko and Ronin Gun. Spiral Spiders opened for High and Mighty Color at Anime Central in Chicago in 2007.
He has also written the opening theme, Double Shuffle, by Nana Mizuki for the upcoming April 2022 anime Tomodachi Game, about high school students playing a game to pay off their debt.
Oh no, not a Squid Game replicant.
Oh my god, yeah. It's so funny. I literally thought of the same thing. I'm just like, wait, is this really the time to insert? Oh, I don't know. I feel like the impact from Squid Game is still in everyone's mind right now. And, you know, of course, a new anime about how high school students are playing a game to pay off their debts.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you remember, like, maybe this is like an OG throwback, but do you remember Liar Game? It was a manga turned J-drama turned K-drama.
Yeah, it was. I remember it was threefold, and I actually knew of the series through the J-drama before I realized, oh, it was from a manga. Mm,
same. Actually, yeah, exactly same. And so I'm, like, looking at all these, I'm like, there is just always something, like, every, like, 10 years, we come back to this idea of, like, what if?
I know, this, like, gamification of your life, basically, and using games to either alleviate some of the things that you're feeling or maybe some troubles that you're having in real life, just to a different degree, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. So, I mean, if you guys enjoyed Squid Game, maybe Tomodachi Game is the thing for you.
I mean, I haven't read the synopsis of Tomodachi Game, but it would be really ironic if it turned out to be something more like warm and light. I mean, just from the sound of that, maybe not lighthearted, but I certainly hope it's not as intense as Squid Game, given that they're high school students. But then again, we will never know unless we watch it.
True. Actually, now that you've said that, I am fully in agreement with you. Like, I hope that it's just like, it's like, oh no, I owe you a soda. Let me play a game.
But I mean, I feel like knowing different anime works, I can easily see how this can turn very intense.
Oh, absolutely.
In its way.
Absolutely.
Well, on the same line, now that we've started talking about anime, I thought we would introduce our second topic for today, our otaku news this month. Starting off with some news from the gaming industry, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet was announced on February 27th as the first installment in the 9th series of the franchise, and the game appears to be set in a world that resembles Spain, and it looks like 3 starters were announced, including the grass type Sprigatito. Sprigatito? Oh my god, I'm butchering these names. Including grass type Sprigatito, fire type Fuecoco, and water type Quoxly. I'm sorry, I'm butchering these names, but the game is now available for pre-order and is due to be released on Nintendo Switch in late 2022.
I was going to say, I think you did a wonderful job. I think people, like, even the most diehard fans, I feel like, are always, like, arguing about what something's called in the Pokemon games.
Yeah, I feel like there's always been so much heated discussion. And I apologize if my pronunciation offended any Pokemon fans that's listening to our podcast right now. It is not my intention.
Yes, please do not come for us today. No. I will have to say, like, the one thing, anytime I see a new Pokemon game get announced, like, the way the fan art community, like, the speed in which they pump out the drawings. I'm like, how did you know?
I agree. Yeah. I know. It's to a point where I'm wondering, like, did the game company tell you up front, like, before they published it, to let you know that, oh, you know, this is... Because, you know, this is, like, a public relations strategy. I mean, I'm saying this just because, like, that's what I used to do. And I'm just like, did you receive some kind of... You know, just as like an influencer type of marketing, and oh, we're going to publish a new game, so therefore, you know, like, feel free to let's commission you a drawing on it. I don't know, but I'm sure you know these fan art artists are just super dedicated and is amazing. Always being able to publish their artwork so quickly, and also the artwork is just always phenomenal.
Yeah, no, and I love it. Like, even no matter how far removed I am from a series, like, I mean, Pokemon's huge, but whatever, but like Pokemon or an anime or anything, like, whenever I'll like pop open Twitter and just see exactly what you're just saying, the most amazing art, and I'm just like, ah, nice. Yeah. I don't know what this is, but I love it.
Yeah, I share that sentiment always.
Well. I am actually a bit excited for the next item. So Square Enix, another major, you know, Japanese game production company, just released their game Triangle Strategy on March 4th for the Nintendo Switch. And this game is characterized by its use of turn-based strategy, similar to the Final Fantasy Tactics game. Oh. Yes. and now it's my turn to butcher some names. But this game features the continent of Norzelia and its three nations, Glenbrook, Asfrost, and Hyzant.
Yeah, that's how I would pronounce it too.
Perfect. Hyzant, that are on the brink of war. The character decisions include an ace attorney style detective work, battle strategy, and exploration, and it will decide your decisions and what you come to at the end of your journey will decide the future of this fictional country, Norzelia.
Wow, that sounds so interesting. I mean, I actually haven't heard of this game before, but even just from this small paragraph introducing it, I'm hooked already.
Yeah, I am such a sucker for Square Enix games because I love the fashion. but yeah, I'm pretty excited, and it's, from what I gather, it's almost like Game of Thronesy in a way of like you are maneuvering this highly political campaign, I guess.
Right. Yeah. You know what this also reminds me of? This kind of reminds me of Fire Emblem in a way, just that, you know, you have three different, I guess, nations, and then, you know, on, I guess Fire Emblem's not really on the brink of war, because I personally play Fire Emblem. It's like one of the only games that I play.
Oh, really?
But yeah, just reading this, I was like, oh, you know, it kind of rings a bell in terms of sort of like the setting and what you would, like what you can accomplish with the game.
I feel that too. No, I really enjoy Fire Emblem a lot too. Now that you mentioned that, definitely, yeah, especially that triangle, the three points coming together. Yeah, definitely. Also, every Square Enix game has the like weirdest name. Triangle Strategy is just such a bizarre name. It's like, could you have named it anything else?
Yeah, and I mean, I think at this point, you know, it's almost you're almost waiting for what they're naming their next game because it's just something that you would not have thought of.
No, definitely not.
Well, on the anime side of Wataku News, in April this year, actually, we will have a very highly anticipated returning series coming back, Kaguya-sama wa Kokurasetai, or Kaguya-sama Love is War, Ultra Romantic, Season 3. And also, Komi-san wa Komusho desu, Komi-san Can't Communicate, Season 2, Black Rock Shooter, Dawnfall, Tiger Bunny 2, and Magia Record, Mahou Shoujo Madoka Magica Gaiden, Asaki Yume no Akatsuki, Season 3. That was a lot of anime titles, but... But I know personally, myself and actually my brother, we watch Kaguya-sama wa Kokorase Tai quite a lot. In the last couple of years, like we like the tone of the anime, and whenever, you know, we communicate sometimes, you know, we would use, like, I guess, memes from it, like, okawaii koto.
Aww. I love that.
I'm sorry to ask. I'm not familiar with the series. What's it about?
So, the series actually is about two people, a part of the Seitokai, which in Japan is just, you know, like the student council. And so there is the president of the student council, who is, I believe, wow, now I'm forgetting if she was the vice president or actually the president, but I believe the president is female, and then the vice president is a male, and they're just trying to get each other to say that they like each other first. And aww. Yeah, it's, you know, the interesting thing is this anime really, for me, was really unexpected, because at first I thought it was going to be, you know, some kind of just, I guess, you know, your very typical high school shoujo type of anime, but it wasn't, because the secretary in this series is also just hilarious. Like, she doesn't read the room at all. and sometimes, it's interesting watching sort of the dynamic in this anime series. And the song from the last season, by Suzuki Masa, I think it's Suzuki Masayuki. Okay.
Masayuki.
Yeah. Suzuki Masayuki-san, who, you know, is a Japanese, was already a really well-known Japanese singer, but the theme song, Daddy Daddy Do, by Suzuki Masayuki-san and also Suzuki Airi-san, really just, it was on top charts of you know, a lot of Japanese musical charts when they released that theme song for the anime.
You have sold me. I'm ready. As soon as we hit end on this recording, I will be, yeah, definitely checking it out.
the anime series is super interesting, but the song, I love that song.
Aww. I will definitely check that out as well. Well, on to just to kind of, I guess, round out our section here on Otaku News, there are a few new titles coming to the world of anime that I think people are getting excited about in the upcoming spring season, and that would be, one of them is Aharen-san wa Hakarenai, or Aharen-san is Indecipherable, which is a romantic comedy about a classmate who does not understand personal space. And this will star Inori Minase, Kana Hanazawa, Tomori Kusunoki, Takuma Terashima, and Tetsuya Kakihara. As well as, there's another, I'm actually a little bit excited for this one, Spy Family, which has been a booming manga, like, just astronomically popular, at least here in Japan. I'm not sure about, you know, worldwide. Will also become an anime, will be animeized. Animated?
Yeah. Animated. <Thank you. laughs> There you go. Yeah, I mean, Spy Family, I think, I'm actually not sure how, whether other people in Canada or elsewhere in, you know, North America or maybe Europe have heard about this series, but I certainly have, even though I haven't watched it, but I think I saw the trailer on YouTube the other day, and it seemed really interesting. Have you read this series by any chance?
Yeah, and I read it. I don't know if any of our listeners are familiar with Staya here in Japan. It's a
rental.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Book and movie, CD, anime, whatever, rental store. Mm-hmm. And it just kept being, like, at the top of, like, the Staya rental charts, if that makes sense. And I'm like, what is this thing? So I finally checked it out and I read it and I fell in love. So I will definitely check out the anime once that comes out.
Wow, yeah. Well, that's something I'm going to check out after we record today.
Yay! Yay, yes, I'm glad we have lots of good recommendations.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and kind of just to completely close out, one quick last note for all of our friends who are now going to be able to come into the country. Ghibli Park is going to open in November 1st of this year, 2022, in Aichi, the capital city being Nagoya. And the park is designed by Hayao Miyazaki's son, Gorō Miyazaki, and it will feature rides and attractions based on popular anime from the studio, of course, Studio Ghibli. And the first areas to open will be Ghibli's Grand Warehouse, the Hill of Youth, and Dondoko Forest. So the Valley of Witches and Mononoke Village will follow in autumn of 2023. I want to go.
I cannot tell you how jealous I am that you are in Japan. I literally was just telling my friend the other day, the next time I go to Japan, and I hope that is soon, depending on how travel restrictions go, because I really miss Japan, but this is definitely on my places to visit.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we've been hearing about the Ghibli Park for, I think, for a couple of years now, ever since they announced that this, you know, this the planning was starting and the construction was starting. But growing up with a lot of Ghibli anime, I feel like I need to go there.
I think you need to go here too. I want it's just such a huge part of, you know, global culture at this point, the Ghibli, you know, brand. And so
Yeah,
it is amazing, like, that it's finally exactly what you're saying, come to fruition after all these years hearing about, like, it's coming, you guys, we're working on it.
Right?
Yeah, so.
And I think it just warms my heart that it's Hayao Miyazaki's son who designed this park. It warms my heart when I heard of that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And if anyone's, I don't know if you've visited the Ghibli Museum in Tokyo, but for fans who have been fortunate enough, I also have not been there, but who have been fortunate enough to go there, this park will be like four times the size of that, so plenty of Ghibli to go around there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't been able to go there yet. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, yes, I will go there. Mm-hmm. But since I was visiting Tokyo quite frequently a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, I can always visit. And sure enough, I was proven wrong. So, you know, I might just make these two items part of my next trip to Japan, you know, like maybe go to the Ghibli Museum in Tokyo and then, you know, head to Aichi for the Ghibli Park.
That sounds really cool. Please invite me.
Yes, absolutely. We should really go. And now to end our Wotaku section, we have another song for you. Report by Tatsuya Kitani, released on November 23rd, 2021.
この手の中の光が心だとして 傷つけてしまう悪夢で浅い呼吸を繰り返してその矢印の向きをこの胸の奥に集めて守りたいと願った
Tatsuya Kitani is a singer-songwriter from Tokyo, and he was first inspired to make music after listening to Asian Kung Fu Generation in the anime series Naruto and began his career in 2014 as a Vocaloid composer. He made his official debut in 2020 with his album Demagogue, and he is also a support bassist for the band Yorushika since 2017.
His song, this song, Rapport, was chosen as the official theme song for Bleach X. Ooh, Bleach. a touring.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool. A touring manga exhibition of the series Bleach by Taito Kubo. The exhibition celebrates the 20th anniversary since Bleach was first. 20th anniversary, wow. Since Bleach was first serialized. That is insane. Oh my gosh. Anywho, I'm sorry to get excited in the middle of these facts. yes, that was first serialized, of course, in Weekly Shonen Jump magazine. This exhibition first opened in Tokyo in December and is set to open in Osaka in March and Akita in July in preparation for the upcoming new Bleach anime that is coming this fall and will continue where the anime series left off.
Yeah, 10 years later.
Oh my
Sorry.
Lord.
But the music video and lyrics for Rapport contain several Easter eggs for Bleach fans, such as the landscape of Hueco Mundo and Thousand Sakura, and the Ukiura discovering what it means to have a heart through Orihime. Mm. Did I butcher that?
No.
I don't know. You know, sometimes I'm just not sure if I'm pronouncing those names correctly. But Bleach, what a throwback. Wow.
What a throwback. And I mean, this song, like, it, after kind of listening to it and then reading through what we just read, our little write-up here, it makes so much sense. I'm like, yeah, this is an Asian Kung Fu Generation kid turned Vocaloid composer turned, you know, like super mega rock star. Yeah.
Yes, I completely agree.
All the names sounded good to me. I am not really finicky about things like that, so maybe I'm a bad fan. we can continue this music loving train. I think our good man Tatsuya Kitani gave us a lot of like musical inspiration to jettison us into music news that has come up over the past couple months. So, you know, just kicking things right off, the rock band Plastic Tree has announced their new best of album, Kinen, which is a play on the words tree and commemoration Nen, so Kien Nen, Kimen.
Ah, I see what they did.
That's
there.
Clever, that's clever. and this will celebrate their 25th anniversary, and it is the band's 10th best of album.
And the Johnny's Entertainment Group, Travis Japan, has announced that they will move to Los Angeles in March for training in song, dance, and just learning English in general. And they plan to compete in the World of Dance Championship on March 27th.
I'm curious. This is a very interesting move. I have not
heard, right?
Yeah, I've not heard of, like, in the past, I know, like, this has, other Japanese artists and groups have tried to, and, you know, like, for example, One Ok Rock and stuff, I think, had a fairly good transition. They, like, not mm-hmm. training, but, like, going to the States and being, you know, at least moderately successful. So it'll be, right. Yeah, I'm curious to see how this pans out for them.
Yeah, for sure.
And on that note, I guess Yoshiki has announced a similar goal, has announced a new reality television competition, Yoshiki Superstar Project X, and the goal is to find a boy band that can hold its own internationally. Reality competition shows have been on the rise here in Japan, and especially ones to create and promote new musical artists have become really popular. I'm sure a lot of our listeners already know, and I'm sure you do too, Christine, but yes. JYP came here and formed Mizu from the Mizu Project, and there was another group that was made kind of this way, it kind of, you know, piggybacking off of Korea's reality competition shows and other, you know, Asian, East Asian and Southeast Asian countries productions of making boy bands and girl bands and groups and artists out of these shows. But yeah, another Japanese group is BE:FIRST from The First by BMSGs, and yeah, it will be interesting to see how Yoshiki conducts this, because there's no fixed genre for this competition, and auditions will be starting in this month, in March, so we will have another host of boy bands to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, these competitions to form, I can't even pinpoint which year this became sort of the trend, and then it almost became, you know, one of a mainstream way for a band to debut. I think this trend might have come from Korea. Could be wrong, but yeah, we've definitely been hearing a lot of bands that's formed from these reality television show projects, and obviously, you know, there are bands that are doing super well right now. You know, like Mizu in Japan, and of course in Korea there's Twice, and
I think you're right too. I think it's Korea that this kind of idea originated, but yeah, we'll see the how this pans out for our fresh new boy bands.
Yes, we will. And now on to our top 5 releases of this month. And first, we have Second Action releasing their new album, Adapt, on March 30th.
Another release, number 2, is singer-songwriter Kaho Nakamura, who is set to release her new album, Nia, on March 23rd.
And then number 3, Awesome City Club will release their new album, Get Set, on March 3rd.
Eve will release his new album, Kaijin, on March 16th, and fans of anime will recognize this song, Kai Kai Kitan, from this album as the opening theme for the popular anime, Jujutsu Kaisen.
And last but not least, Fujikaze will release his new album, Love All, Serve All, on March 23rd.
Wonderful! I think that's such a wide range of artists to feature, and hopefully
truly cross different genres too.
Yeah. And I'm excited for Second Action. I love all their stuff, so
I'm excited for Eve's new album. I think it might have started with the album that he released in 2020, but I really like the song Outsider, and since then I've been following his music.
Oh, well, I will have to check him out too. I'm like sad to admit that my Japanese music knowledge primarily comes from this podcast currently. I've not like branched out very, you know, wide recently. So I want to kind of get back into that. So maybe Eve will do it for me.
Yes, definitely check it out.
Well, to tide us over until all of these wonderful new releases, let's get another song to our listeners. This will be Scandal with the song Mirror, which was released not too long ago, January 26, 2022. Scandal is a four-member girl group from Osaka that has been active since 2006 and is comprised of members Haruna Ono, who is on rhythm guitar and vocals, Mami Sasazaki, who is the lead guitarist, Tomomi Ogawa, who's on bass, and Lina Suzuki, who is on the drums.
And they have performed songs for several anime series, including Gegege no Kitaro, Bleach, Fullmetal Alchemist, Brotherhood.
Wow. Bleach coming in through again.
Yeah, it's their year.
Truly. They are on tour, Scandal that is on tour for their new album Mirror in Japan, the United States, Canada, England, France, and will also be headed to Germany.
Wow.
Wow, that's exciting for them. I don't know much about Scandal. I really enjoyed this song, but I kind of a band that has like always been floating around me. Like I hear of them and then never like delve into their
right
catalog.
No, same. I mean, I think like I hear their songs here and there, and you know, again, also not. I don't know too much about this band, but I know that they've always been around and been around for quite a long time too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2006 is a long time to be in this industry.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the fact that they're still in this industry definitely speaks a lot about how much people like their music.
Absolutely, absolutely. Keep rocking on, girls.
Well, on that note, actually, in terms of our seasonal news in Japan, this month was actually Girls' Day, or Hinamatsuri, in Japan. This is celebrated on March 3rd. And generally on this day, in Japan, families will have ornamental dolls known as the hinaningyo, placed on a 7-platform red carpet, and use it as, and then they will display this as decorations either in their homes or in public buildings. And these dolls represent the emperor and empress and their attendants, and they are dressed in the Heian period clothing.
Yeah, do you own any hinaningyo, Christine?
You know, I personally don't, just because I move around. I have been moving around quite a bit in the last couple of years, obviously before the pandemic. But I do know that a couple of my Japanese friends have it back in their jikka, which is what Japan call, you know, their parents' home. And on the day of Hinamatsuri, they would always sort of like bring it out and display, and then before putting it back on the shelf again for the year, for another year, until the Hinamatsuri comes around again next year.
Yeah, I actually heard it's like one of those like old wives' tales or whatever you want to say, like kind of myths that you know, is always around these kind of celebrations. But a lot of superstitious families will put the hina ningyo, the hina dolls, away really quickly after Hinamatsuri, because if you leave it out too long, allegedly, your daughter won't get married. So, oh no.
Yeah.
How terrible. No.
No, I've actually heard of that.
Oh, really?
Too. So it's always just like once a year and then we'll like, back.
Yeah, get it out of our sight. No. No, but it is really stunning. There's an area called Katsura in Chiba. It's in southern Chiba, and it's really near to where I live. And they have a really large Hina Matsuri festival every year. And sadly, for the past couple of years, because of COVID-19, it's been canceled. But yeah, there's a shrine that has these really long steps, and they have Hinamatsuri dolls, like Hina Ningyo, like lining the entire stairway up to this shrine, and it's like so beautiful.
Oh my
God. It's incredible.
Wow. Are those Hina Ningyos like gigantic or like small?
They have so there's like two areas. So they have the ones that are kind of an in-between size, like not people size, but not like a regular smaller set. So it's a little bit bigger.
Got it. So slightly larger than what you would normally expect in Hinaningyo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's what they decorate the shrine with. But then they also have like a community center area, and those ones are those are like people-sized Hinaningyo, and they are like, they are beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I wish I could visit Japan.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe I should be like, no, it's so boring. No, don't. No. No. Well, I mean, another thing iconic to Japan is, of course, hanami, the sakura or cherry blossom viewing, and March is the season for it here in Japan. And of course, as the sakura and cherry blossoms come and go, so too do the Starbucks items that are related to sakura.
Yes.
So yeah,
yes.
I mean, Starbucks has already released its sakura latte, frappuccino, and chiffon cake, plus they have a new sakura cassis strawberry mochi frappuccino that is like 13 different things.
Oh my goodness.
That's new this year, apparently. And other, not to be outdone, other coffee brands here in Japan, namely Dotur, has released their Sakura Mont Blanc, which is a chestnut tart, as well as a Sakura Marshmallow Latte and a Sakura Dorayaki, which for those who don't know, dorayaki is kind of two mini pancakes with unko or sweet red bean in the middle, and this one features sakura jam. So kind of a nice little array for if you want to go do hanami, your cherry blossom viewing, which will happen for Tokyo at least around the middle of March. March 15th will be the peak viewing season. You can grab your Starbucks or your Dotour and yeah, really deck yourself out.
Honestly, what I love about Japan is that every year during the sakura season, you start seeing all these, you know, not really merchandise, but, you know, coffee shops coming out with new sakura-themed, like, drinks or desserts, and they're always so... They always look so pretty as well on top of appetizing. And yeah, the sakura season in Japan is, it really is something else.
It's magical. Exactly what you're saying. Like, everything is like coated in this light, beautiful pink. Like, I'm just like floating through this, the city streets. No. Yeah. Yeah, I feel it.
Well, to close out this seasonal news season, we have our fourth song for you today, Uberworld's Seventh Trigger, released on March 28, 2012.
Oh,
Uverworld is a six-piece rock band from Shiga that has been active since 2000.
The vocalist, Takuya, also writes the compositions and the lyrics, as well as another member, Seika, plays saxophone on many of the band's tracks.
Their music has been featured in the anime The Promised Neverland and My Hero Academia, and the Japanese dub version of the American film Venom.
Oh, that's interesting. specific to Japan specific version of Venom has their music.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, this is a very good bridge into our final section, some other news topics, but that this would not be the first time that Japan has reached itself out to the world of comics. As very recently, the city of Fukuyama in Hiroshima Prefecture has become a friendship city, entered a friendship city agreement with Batman's hometown of Gotham City. Which is wild news for me to take in.
Yeah, no, it is wild. And honestly, but you know, I feel like if there's one country to do this, it would be Japan. To form that friendship city agreement with a fictional city of Batman's hometown.
Yeah, you are completely right about that. Like, no, I think that's very funny, and I think, well, it's coinciding with the current, you know, the very popular Batman movie that's coming out right now.
Yes.
That will make its premiere this month. But on top of that, Fukuyama Castle in Fukuyama City will be celebrating its 400th anniversary at the same time as the film's release. So it's kind of funny, like Fukuyama has a lot of bat motifs surrounding it, because the castle is located on an area that used to be called Komoriyama, which is literally Bat Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, in Japanese culture, there's a lot of inheritance from China and Chinese, you know, just throughout history. And bats symbolize good luck in China due to the words bat and good luck sharing the same pronunciation of fu.
Yes.
This can also be reinterpreted as just, you know, Japan, this kind of like bat symbolism tied to Batman, tied to good luck, tied to, everything is coming together just for this.
Honestly, and you know, this was one of the new addition that ties the Fukuyama Castle to that whole bat symbolism, you know, this friendship city agreement with the Gotham City.
Yeah, that's very cool. I mean, I want to go there because apparently they're going to flash the Batman signal out on the castle. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So,
wow. Maybe take a picture.
I will. Yeah.
Take a picture if you do end up going. Wow, I can't imagine seeing that in real life. Yeah. Must be something else.
Maybe Robin Pattinson will come too. I don't know. No. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, no worries. And speaking of landmarks, the artist for Kyoto has actually transformed a well-known Kyoto landmark, the Kiyomizu-dera Temple. And this year, there is a giant kokeshi doll, which is a traditional wooden Japanese doll. This giant doll has been placed at the foot of the main gate. And there are also two komainu, or lion-dog guardians, placed at the entrance of the west gate of the temple. They're not made of stone, but they're made of black and silver metal. And they look like they have come from a mecha anime with their glowing red eyes. And the artist's fair in Tokyo is usually an event where they showcase local artists, and this kokeshi doll was created by the artist Yota, and the komainu were created by Kyoto University of Art and Design's professor Kenji Yanobe.
I have seen pictures from this thing and seen it on the news. That kokeshi doll is enormous. It's so big.
Really? Wow. Mm. I imagine it would have to be just because my impression or my memory of the Kiyomizu-dera Temple is like the temple itself is huge, and you know, if you were to exhibit some sort of artwork and you know at the main gate, I expect that the size would kind of have to match up to to that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. No, I And it does. I actually, that's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking the same thing because I remember of my memories there that that main gate area is, it is pretty just like wide open.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have a lot of like, I guess, brushwork space to paint your artistic creation out. So yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. I might have to add this. I probably shouldn't be traveling, but it's hard not to want to go because these things look so cool.
Yeah, and then like things happening all over Japan comes the spring season.
Yeah, definitely. So I doubt that I will get out there, but maybe I'll have a little photo album ready for our next J Top 10 episode, and I can you take us through some screenshots. No,
that would be amazing.
Yes. Well, on to a little bit, you know, more down news. Not down news in a bad way, but yeah, just dealing with the effects of COVID as well. Japan has seen a shortage of potatoes in particular, French fries being sold at McDonald's and Mos Burgers have had a lot of difficulty being produced because the potatoes that they usually get from North America have not been able to be sent due to restrictions with COVID and supply issues and unreliable weather for growing conditions. And so both McDonald's and Mos Burger here in Japan have actually only been selling small-sized fries for the month of February, and it's kind of this weird thing where they keep going back and forth about like, oh, we have regular sizes again. No, we don't. Yada yada. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a. Have you heard anything about this, Christine?
Oh yeah, you know what? I guess what surprised me the most is how many times I've seen this on the headlines of Twitter whenever I browse through Twitter, because I permanently set my Twitter's regional setting to Japan just so it's sort of like my my outlet, my channel where I get Japanese news. And the number of times I've seen news that's like, oh, the large and medium size French fries are back, or oh, we're out of them again, so you know, or whatnot. It surprises me, you know, how big of a news this was in Japan this, in these last couple of months.
I'm also right there with you, like, just watching it and watching, like, my friends unwind mentally, like, mentally unravel. They're like, oh my god, I can't believe it. These potatoes are gone. I mean, it wasn't all doom and gloom because another one of the chains here, Freshness Burger, actually gets their potatoes from Hokkaido, and they took advantage of these woes from McDonald's and Mos Burger. Yeah, they're like, we have the potatoes. So, yeah, I guess if you have to flex on them.
Well, with that actually marks the end of our news for you today, and we will be ending our episode with our final song, Shin Sakiura's Night Running Feet Amy, released on June 24th, 2020.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shin Sakiura is a music producer and guitarist from Osaka who has released 3 albums and 15 singles.
And as for Amy, by the way, spelled AAMYYY.
All in capital letters.
All in capital letters. She is announcing herself to the world.
Yes.
Is a singer-songwriter from Nagano who plays synthesizer for the band Tempele, and whose songs have been featured in commercials for Uniqlo, Panasonic, Microsoft, and even Tommy Hilfiger.
Wow. And their song, Night Running, was featured as the ending theme for the anime BNA Brand New Animal by Studio Trigger.
I think we featured this song on a countdown that I hosted a while back. I have this...
Oh, really?
Maybe we haven't. Maybe I'm making that up. Or maybe I found it independently, but like... I was listening to this song again, and I looked down at the YouTube link, and it said that I had liked the video already, and I was like, okay, so this means I've known about the song and, like, just completely blanked on it, but it was nice to hear again. Yeah, but wonderful. It was a lovely, way to close out our very eventful news filled episode.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to give us some feedback. Visit jtop10.jp and contact us through our social media or email us to let us know how you felt about this episode.
Yes, and if you are a fan of the classics, you can take it back. Let's go back in time to enjoy some of the actual, like, you know, penultimate classics from Yamashita Tatsuro in our April Artist of the Month episode. And that will be hosted by Dean and Haru, so please enjoy that. They will be speaking to you on all of these wonderful oldies, not just oldies, but classics, a little over a week from now. But yeah, thank you, Christine. I had a wonderful time dissecting the news with you today.
Yeah, it was great. And we had news from, you know, sort of all kinds of news today. And definitely our songs were also of different genre, and you know, hopefully all of you enjoyed this episode as much as we did.
Yeah, definitely. And we will catch you on the next one. Thanks for listening as always, and stay safe.
Bye.
Jane, bye bye.